Welcome to PCMC. I'm Mike Buongiorno. I'm joined today by Vin Beavis Forte.
What's going on?
Vin, how are you?
I'm doing good. We just watched Beavis and Butthead do the universe.
Preliminary thoughts, sir.
I liked it.
I liked it, too. Thanks for listening to PCMC.
Yeah, it's been a really great episode.
I liked it. You know why that is significant? Because I watched it with a cringe in my jaw of, please don't suck. Like, you came out direct to Paramount Plus, but not just direct to Paramount Plus, like, with no marketing. Like, there was a trailer that was like, in a week it's coming out, and I was like, oh boy.
Yeah.
This is...
Either they want people to be really surprised and love this and get good word of mouth, or they're just like, we're just dumping
this. They're burying it. Now, you know, there's been some talk of it being a pilot for an ongoing series.
Oh, they've already greenlit the news. They're doing, like, two seasons of it on Paramount Plus.
So it'll put them in our contemporary time, which is an interesting idea. So I did go into it like, oh boy, I hope this is funny. I hope this is...
But it is. It feels Beavis and Butthead-y.
Yes, but it's not... Its animation is done by... it's done by a different animation studio. It's actually the same studio that does things.
It does Titmouse.
Yeah, they do things. They've done a lot of great things.
Yeah.
And
I won't say Tit House, which is a whole other.
Yeah, yeah. So Beavis and Butthead look on design, but everyone else kind of looks a little better. Like, if you look at, we also watched Beavis and Butthead Do America for this episode because we want to kind of compare the two films. And Beavis and Butthead Does America feels way more like this was that Mike Judge ugly style, whereas in this new film it feels like Beavis and Butthead are Beavis and Butthead-y, and everything else is.
You know what the other style is? Adult Swim style.
Yeah, yeah.
It feels... Everyone else is drawn in a very, like, Aqua Teen Hunger Force style.
Yes, yes, exactly right. Like, that very...
Like, super realistic, but also...
It doesn't totally... It's not like Roger Rabbit. It doesn't feel too much like it doesn't fit. But if you're familiar with the sort of... The original...
It's a nice update.
Yeah, yeah. I mean... The thing about the original series and the original movie was, the very first short, Frog Baseball, is it's super, super rough. I mean, the characters are barely staying on design, and it's just the backgrounds are all shitty. It's very watercolory.
But the thing that makes this movie work, and what makes Beavis and Butthead work, is the fact that they're stupid, and the world is reacting to them.
Yes,
it's not. Because you raised an interesting question a couple days ago off mic where you were like, what, like, you kind of were trying to figure out what makes them work.
Yeah.
And I think that's what it is. Like, they're, like, it's almost like that one episode of The Simpsons of Frank Grimes.
Yeah, yeah.
Where it's like, this is the episode where we're showing you what if a normal human interacted with Homer Simpson. Where Beavis and Butthead is that idea taken to, like, the nth degree. Like, what if you just had wild characters like Beavis and Butthead walking around?
Right.
And you just had normal people reacting to them.
Right. And
the normal people aren't in on the joke.
Right. And they take huge leaps. Like, in this one, they, like, Beavis and Butthead, it's called Beavis and Butthead Do the Universe. So there's a little sci-fi of it to it. But it's basically... Yeah. Almost the exact same kind of film as Do America.
Right, the government's after them.
Right, a bunch of people are after them, and some people think that they're aliens, some people think that they're, you know...
terrorists.
Yeah, yeah. And they go to space camp, and they see, like, this docking procedure where you dock this one thing into this other thing, and it looks like a penis going into a vagina. And then they're like, and then they, like, they sit there for, like, 24 hours straight, just making it go in and out, in and out, in and out.
And like, you guys have had a lot of practice doing this.
Right.
Like, oh, we sure have.
Right.
Like,
and nobody else gets why they're doing it. They're just like, wow, these guys are so good. And
yeah, there's a part where they like do a thing where they take this like robotic arm.
And they jerk it off.
And they jerk off and they're like, wow, they're using the arm to act as a redundancy to the process. Like, nobody's ever thought of that before.
Yeah, like this idea of like, oh, they're geniuses and we're not getting it. Both movies have sort of the same plot, which is they think that they're going to have sex with a lady.
Right.
And they're not. In the first movie, Do America, which is from the year 1996, they're hired by a guy to like kill his wife. He mistakes them for being hitmen.
Right.
There's a lot of mistaken things. And his wife, Dallas, played by Demi Moore. Kind of like Debbie does Dallas, because mm-hmm. want to do America. He goes, I need you to do her. And they're like, oh, do her. So they think he means have sex with their wife. So that's the whole thing. In this new movie, it's the same thing.
Like, we think we're going to score.
Right. Like the what's her name? Serena, the astronaut, is like, invites them on the trip, kind of like for a publicity stunt. Like, you'll come with us, and then when it comes to the point where we do the doc, we'll let you do the doc, because that's what you're good at. And it'll be great for everybody. You know, you're bringing young kids into space. Mm. And the way she says it to them, like, they think she's saying, oh, no, because she looks at them putting the thing in the other thing and goes, hey, how'd you like to
do that for real?
And he's like, ah, well, so they think she means have sex. So through the whole thing, they think they wants to have sex. And then they go, at some point, we're just going to talk about how stupid this is. At some point, like, they fuck up the mission completely.
Yeah. And then, like, they're on the ship about to die.
Right. And she, like, she's like, fuck these guys. And she, like, lets them go out she pushes them out into space. They get sucked into a black hole and go into our contemporary time, 2022.
But here's the other big thing about the movie that is very Beavis and Butthead. The way it's set up makes you think that, oh, they're going to get sucked into a black hole and they're going to go on like this big intergalactic adventure.
Yeah.
Where it's like, no, they really just go back. They go back to Earth, but it's 2022.
Right. Like,
and the whole rest of the movie is just them like in the state of Texas.
Yeah.
Trying to get back to their home also in Texas.
Right. It's them, and it's basically Beavis and Butthead Do America again. The only other sci-fi element is smart Beavis and Smart Butthead that look like Watchers.
Oh, yeah.
from Marvel Comics.
And they
keep
showing up and trying to get them to go through this portal to fix everything.
I actually got a lot of kick. I got a kick out of them. Like, Beavis and Butthead are famous for just like giggling and laughing at stupid shit. And smart Beavis and Butthead also do it, but they do it in a smarter way. Like,
they're like, oh, well, I guess it sounded like we said that, but I could see how you could mix that up.
Droll. Joel, yes, very humorous.
Very humorous.
Yes. well observed, well observed.
We put the portal where no one would ever find it, behind the Arts and Humanities building.
Yeah.
Sad commentary on...
yeah, I know. It's... but no, it's funny, yeah, because the opening credits is them, like, in a fucking X-Wing, basically. Like, it looks very Futurama, and that ends up being nothing of what the film is. That's...
Right, it's setting you up for...
It's setting you up for sci-fi hijinks, and it really isn't. It's just, you know... The science fiction is a conceit to get them from 1996 to now.
Right.
Although they did a reboot like 10 years ago where they just didn't even think about it. They didn't mention it at all. It was just like...
Here's more.
Yeah, here's just more. Like, you didn't have to. Like, they're watching like Jersey Shore instead of videos and stuff. But yeah, they come into 2022. And there's some fun stuff with that. Like, Serena is the name of the astronaut that they think wants to do them, and now she's the governor of Texas.
But along the way, they get a phone.
Yeah,
but they don't know what a new phone is. They think it's like a little TV. But then at a certain point, they're like Siri in Serena.
Yeah.
Automatically turns on Siri on the iPhone they have.
Right.
And then Beavis thinks he's having a conversation with Serena the whole time,
and he thinks he's having like a deep conversation with her where he's like falling in love with her.
And
like,
well, I've never told anyone this before, but
yeah,
I love, and like, but I keep stopping him.
Yeah, well, it's great when he's like, what do you think? He says to Siri, like, what do you think about Butthead? And then Siri's like, I do not understand Butthead.
No,
like,
I don't either.
I don't either.
Yeah, like,
and then at one point she's like, I don't understand Beavis. And he's like, oh, you know, wow.
Sometimes I don't understand myself.
That's really fun. And even the way they get their phone, some tourists, like these fat tourists come up to them, they're like, can you take a picture of us? And he's like, oh, wow, it's a little TV. And he's like, yeah. This show sucks. It's just a bunch of fat people standing around.
And like, whoa, we can just pay for anything on our phone?
Right. And then there's
then they get nachos, but like in the montage where they're getting nachos, every new thing they do is just them getting nachos in a different way.
Like
they're at a strip club and they're doing the Make It Rain, but it's just, they pull out and they're just in an Applebee's throwing nachos at people.
They go to a jewelry store and buy like this super expensive, like bejeweled chalice, and then they just go to a 7-Eleven and like have them fill it with nachos. Yeah. It's just so stupid.
And then they wreck a hotel room, and like everywhere they go, when the government's right after them, they still think they're aliens. So they see all this orange goo all over the place, and they're like, "What the fuck are these creatures?"
Right? Because they're being chased by Serena and the lieutenant governor, who is also like her lackey astronaut.
Yeah,
and she wants to kill them. She's like, "Shit, they're after me. They're back, and I have to kill them before they ruin me." And then, because they came through a black hole, the government, the G-Men, think these are aliens.
Yeah.
And it's kind of funny because they do make fun of how ugly their character design is by like, look at these guys. These are aliens, clearly. So just like the first movie, there's multiple parties chasing them.
But I liked a lot of the, because it goes from just like set piece to set piece to set piece.
Yeah.
Like at one point they're in a college.
Yeah.
And they have like the woke moment.
I wanted to ask you about that because I've been trying to figure out the ideology of this film, because they go into a gender class and the professor's Tig Notaro, of course.
Yeah.
And you know, they're saying things like, the slut, whatever, you know, Beavis and Butthead shit, we're trying to do this slut, she's waiting for us. And then they're like, okay. Tig Notaro's like, this is a teachable moment. And like, they learn what white privilege is, but then
like in the wrong way. Yeah. They're like, oh, we didn't know this at all. Like, well, are you going to act different from now on? They're like, absolutely.
Then you see them like going in, like stealing shit. Like, oh, we have white privilege. Sorry. Yeah, and like, then like they steal a cop car.
Yeah. Like, oh, we could do this.
We have white privilege. Yeah. So but my question was, you know, I had always thought that, Mike Judge is creative. I guess I had always thought he was more liberal. I don't know why. But then you think King of the Hill is, I don't know, maybe you were saying to me the other day that you think it is liberal, but it's a sort of, he doesn't want to ignore conservative people the way that most mainstream culture does.
Right. Like, it's like, instead of just not making something that's going to appeal to a conservative audience.
Right.
He would rather make King of the Hill, which is set in Texas, very like aesthetically conservative,
right?
But will sneak in the liberal message,
right?
Because the big trope of King of the Hill, like the running theme, is in the beginning of an episode. Like an episode will start with Hank Hill not understanding like a new gay coworker or something,
right? Right,
and then by the end of the episode, he'll be put in a situation where like, someone's hassling the gay person from the earlier in the episode, and he's like, well, wait right here. Like, why are you know, making fun of that person? Just because he loves someone of the same
right,
sex?
Right, like, right, right. Yeah, like, I've watched the film twice, and yeah, the white privilege thing, at first I was like, oh, is this saying that white privilege isn't a thing? Is it making fun of woke culture? And I don't know. I think maybe a little bit, but I also think, I don't know. I
think it's just a funny enough gag.
Or it's just like, it's a time travel gag. You know what I mean? Right. Like, how would they deal with this way of thinking?
Exactly. Like they're in the classroom and they're like, hey, slut. And King Notaro's like, well, you did say slut in an affirmative way, which is good. It's positive. But everything else you said was wrong.
Like, right, I know.
Yeah, I have a teachable moment here.
But it is interesting.
So, and I did like the one part. There's a very quick joke in that classroom scene where there's a black woman about to explain more about the white privilege thing.
Yeah.
And some white dude who's gay jumps in and like answers,
cuts her off.
Yeah, just cuts her off and gets all the credit.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, that's a really clever. Like,
yeah, 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 yeah. Right. Even the people who think that they're so progressive are subject to the same prejudices. Yeah. Yeah, that is interesting. There's a lot of fun stuff in it. In general, which film do you think is better?
Ooh, that's a hard one to answer right now, because I think there's definitely more nostalgia for Do America.
Okay.
But I have to say, having just seen Universe, I think it works right alongside it. I don't think there's a dip.
Yeah, I do think it works right alongside it as well. But see, my interesting history was, as a kid, I loved Beavis and Butthead. Loved them. Like, had the comics. Mm. I still have, like, the first, like, 20 of their run of the comics.
Oh.
I had, like, books. And I loved Beavis and Butthead. But then when Do America came out, I don't know what was up my ass, or I don't know, maybe I was growing up in a way, or maybe, like, it was too narrative from what I wanted. Mm. You know, like, I had their album where they sang with Cher. Like, I loved Beavis and Butthead, but then the movie I was disappointed by. But watching it again, like, last week, I was like, wow, this movie's great. So yeah. I would definitively say I think Do America's better.
I would probably fall on that side of it as well.
It's just better. Everything, even
it's
just
for
the
time out. It's them, right. Like, it's tighter.
They found a good way to turn that show into a movie, which is a hard thing to do.
Yes.
Because, you know, people forget, like, Beavis and Butthead, it was on MTV, and this was back when there was an edict that, like, you had to have videos and things in some way. So every episode of Beavis and Butthead would have two stories, right? So right there, you're down to 11 minutes.
Right.
But then you'd also have them watching videos and speaking over the videos.
Mm-hmm.
So really, every little Beavis and Butthead story was like 6 minutes or something. And, you know, it would be one little event. It's like, how do you make that into a feature film? But I think they did it. So I do think, and I like the art of the original movie better. It's very hand.
Mm-hmm.
You look at it now and you think, wow, like,
especially like there's some scenes where they really went all out, like when they're in the desert.
Yes,
it's like that whole freak out scene.
Oh, right, right. Which apparently like Rob Zombie worked on that scene, or like that's actually a really great animation scene, just where they're completely freaking out. Yeah,
but like great character work. Like, I love Robert Stack's character, keeps giving people cavity searches.
Right. Yeah. In the original film, the people chasing him are Muddy, who's played by Bruce Willis. At this time, Bruce Willis and Demi Moore were married, a famous married couple.
Yeah.
So they play a married couple in the film. There's also David Letterman's in it. Remember that Beavis and Butthead was a true phenomena, and there were celebrities that were like, yeah, we want to be in this movie.
Yeah.
So in the first one, the elements of people chasing them are, you've got Muddy, who hired them to kill his wife, but they misunderstood, and now he thinks that they're double-crossing him, that they're in cahoots with her.
Right.
So he's trying to kill them. But then the wife, Dallas, she stole some MacGuffin chip and sewed it into Beavis' shorts. So the government...
The government's after him for the chip.
Right. They want to... And this chip could, like... Is bio warfare.
Yeah.
So, like, if it breaks, like, all the population of America will die. So, like, there's various elements after them as well. It actually reminds me a little bit of, like, the Blues Brothers movie.
Yeah,
where it's like there's like three or four elements and they're all chasing after this, and it all will come to a head at the end where we all get together. So those are the elements in the first movie, but I tell you something that the second movie does better that the first movie doesn't do, which is the second movie has, and this is pretty obvious dramatically, but they didn't do it. The second movie has Beavis and Butthead fight and break up.
Yeah,
which. It's so odd. I mean, even the fucking Powerpuff Girls movie has a scene where they get mad at each other. Like, in the first movie, that doesn't happen. They're always on the same page.
Yeah.
I mean, Butthead's always abusive to Beavis. Mm-hmm. But in this movie, they get to a point where they're like, they go to their house, and now it's, like, been flipped, and there's an open house, someone's selling it. Beavis' mother's dead, or whatever. Who knows where she is. And there's a bookshelf where their TV was, and they're just so upset about the way the world has changed, and they're freaking out. They're throwing books at each other, and Butthead's making fun of her because he's like, "Oh, I love you, Serena." Butthead's making fun of her for having feelings, and they're like beating the shit out of each other. And then they break up, and it's good for the story.
Yeah,
and then they get back together because they're both kidnapped by two various elements. What do you think of the voices? Beavis sounded a little bit older. Like, you could tell Mike Judge's aged.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was fine.
I mean, it's fine. It's not distracting. But if you know the voice as well, you could be like, okay, Beavis. It's not as high as Beavis used to be.
No.
Butthead's basically the same.
Yeah.
But Beavis doesn't reach that high register that he used to.
No, definitely not.
There's some interesting things we learned in this film that had never been revealed before in the series. Like, they were never clear that they lived in Texas. Whereas
was it not clear?
No, they would say Highland, but you never knew.
Okay.
in this movie, they make clear it's Texas. It makes it clear that the house that they're always in is Beavis's house. Mm. And it also makes it clear that Beavis is Beavis's last name, not his first name. Because yeah, we learn his mother's name is Shirley Beavis.
And, like, you, I like that scene because you think that, like, they're just playing with the new, like, garbage disposal.
Right.
And they're just, like, throwing shit at it. And the realtor's like, yeah, it was owned by Shirley Beavis, who, sad what happened to her. And then you hear the garbage disposal go off.
Yeah, yeah. And
like,
then,
every
like,
time she's saying something important. But then it'll cut back and she'll be, like, in media res and just, like, yeah. And then, you know, after her heart was broken, she,
You won't believe what she did next.
Yeah.
And then her last words was, if I could just tell my son one last thing, and then they're just fucking with it. They don't totally get that they're in a different time.
No.
Which could be a little grating. You have to be in the mood for these movies because it is stretching characters that are meant for short subjects right. to an extent of, you've got to be in on the joke. You've got to be like, look, these guys are the stupidest guys ever.
Mm-hmm.
And what's funny is how everyone else is reacting to them. Like, and it's funny, when I was a kid, I think I liked their stupidity. But now as an adult, I see it in a totally different way. Like, what I find more funny now is those reactions. Like,
right.
In the first movie, they go to Yellowstone National Park, and Eric Bogosian is a tour guide. And he's like, this is Old Faithful. You know, Old Faithful, you know, so many thousand pounds of water are shot up. And he's like, oh, that's really not that much when you think about it. And he's like, they're like hurting his feelings. Yeah, he's like,
well, no, it's a lot of water. Like,
it's not that. It's really not that interesting. The funniest thing Beavis does is if somebody is explaining something to Beavis, he'd be like, uh-huh. Uh-huh. Yeah. 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 But of course, he's not really getting it.
Yeah.
Like, so it's like the little, I realize now it's the little things that are way funnier than the big stupid things. It's them traversing the world.
Right.
Something cool that they do in the new film is, the way that we get to 2022 is a real, it's like a Simpsons episode. There's a bunch of steps that get us there. Because first they have to go to space camp, and they go to space camp because the judge
takes mercy on them, and it's like, instead of giving the space camp prize to someone who won the science fair, because you burned down the science fair, there's not going to be a winner. So instead of giving it to someone who probably wouldn't need it because they're well-adjusted anyway, we're going to give it to you.
Because you need it, because you guys are from broken homes, and you're
clearly... Also, did you catch the cameo in the courtroom?
Yes.
Yeah, Daria.
Not only Daria, but done in the style of her own show.
Yes.
Not the style of her and Beavis and Butthead.
Right.
Which I thought was very cool. And they made it fit. I was like, cool, that's the character design of the Daria we know. Yeah, the first film has all the extra characters, you know, all the ancillary characters... Mm. Like Mr. Anderson, who's sort of a proto Hank Hill.
Whacking in my tool shed.
The boys who were whacking off in my tool shed. But the second film, you only in the very beginning do you see these ancillary characters, and then we kind of move beyond them. Like, we see Mr. Vendreason, the hippie teacher. Like, there's really just that scene in the science fair, which I think is funny. They're you know... Just
kicking him in the nuts.
And... Yeah, like, somebody creates this science experiment where it's just like this...
foot that's gonna kick a football,
right? But he just piece like Beavis stands in front of this, and he's like clearly like winding up to kick him. He's like, "You're not gonna kick me in the nuts, right?" He's like, "No, no." And he's like, "Oh, thank God, I'm glad we're over that." And then he kicks him, and like he fucking flies. And I couldn't help but like they got me, like, because he flies, but then he lands on a table of cactuses.
Yeah,
and that got me. I was like, that's fucking funny. Just the cactuses is just like they just like make it as horrible as it could possibly be. And then that's what starts a fire, and just and everything burns down.
Yeah,
they burn the whole school down.
And the judge is like, they say I'm the hardest judge in the state. And I am.
And so, and then you see, like, Mr. Vendreason and, like, the...
Mr. Anderson.
And, like, you see, like, all the other characters, like, yeah, they're finally going to get what's coming to them.
Like, I'm sentencing you to space camp. And they're like, no.
It's funny, space camp was big in the 90s.
It really was.
It makes sense.
That was all the, like, game shows. Like, when you would win.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to space camp.
I always wanted to go to space camp.
It always seemed fun.
But you know what? I have such a bad.
You would have hated the G-force.
Yeah, like thing. I would not have been able to do zero gravity in any possible way.
The closest I ever went to space camp was. Did you ever do the Bueller Space Center?
No.
This place in Jersey where it's like it's basically a museum to the Challenger spacecraft. Mm. And you can go and like you as a class can be assigned like different positions and basically you do like a space mission.
Okay.
Like there's some kids who are in like a mission control room. And there's, like, a room with all these different stations that you would have, like, on a regular space shuttle. And, like, I remember I was on, like, the robotics one where I was, like, playing with, like, kind of like they were in the movie with, like, a robotic arm.
Yeah.
That was, like, moving things around.
Oh, that's cool.
And then you could, like, everyone loved the gift shop because you could buy the freeze-dried ice cream.
Oh, who doesn't love that?
Yeah.
The stuff where they're on the space shuttle is fun. They throw up zero gravity and it propels them.
They stare into the sun through a telescope and that burns their eyes so they can't see what they're doing during the docking.
Right, which is really funny. Well, like, Beavis does it first, right? He does it in one eye and he's blind in one eye. And then he's like, let me try the other eye. And then he does it again because he's stupid. And then he's blind both eyes. And then they cut away and you hear Butthead yell. Yeah. And then 2 seconds later, you hear him yell again. So it's like Butthead also did both eyes.
Yeah.
So now they're both blind.
I love when they're docking into I guess what's supposed to be the International Space Station.
Yeah.
There's like a little Russian guy in there, like, hey, like, yeah, give they the thumbs up. And then as the thing is docking, it's like careening off and destroying the side of it.
Yeah.
And then you just see the guy like floating in space, like dead.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. They're like, listen, the mission's completely screwed up. We only have enough food and oxygen for 4 people, and there are 6 of us. And she's like, 2 people have to volunteer to leave, go out in space. And then like everyone's looking at Beavis Butthead like, come on, like this is your fault. But fucking, they don't agree.
Yeah.
It's
and the one guy's like, I volunteered.
Yeah, yeah, you saw that, right?
I saw that, right? I mean, I didn't volunteer, but, like, I volunteered.
Let's see. Oh, so both films have cameos from the great Cornholio.
Oh, yes.
How would you describe Cornholio to a kid that's never seen Beavis and Butthead?
Look, he needs TP for his bunghole.
He does need TP for his bunghole.
This is just, like, the height of them being stupid for stupid's sake.
But it's funny that it's, like, remember when, like, Steve Urkel became Stefan or Cal? And, like, they just kept bringing it back.
Yeah.
Like, Cornholio was in one episode, and then I guess people loved it, that they were like, so, like, he would come back from time to time, and then in the first movie, he's twice Cornholio.
Right, they think he's, like, a terrorist about to destroy the White House.
Right, and then in the second movie, he's Cornholio once while in prison.
Which, I liked that scene where they're like, yeah, we do need more TP in here. Like,
yeah.
At least start a riot, because they need more toilet paper. And the warden, like, wildly out of character for a warden is just like, wait a minute, we need to be compassionate to them.
Well, he looks them up and he sees that they died in 1996. So he's like, oh, these are angels. Hey, yeah. You ever see that old show Touched by an Angel?
Which comes up twice in the
right. Yeah, because the judge is like, I was watching this show last night, Touched by an Angel. So there's some fun 90s comedy in it. But Cornholio, I mean, essentially what it is if Beavis becomes stimulated, it could be sugar and candy, or it could be drugs. It could be anything. Yeah. He becomes more hyperactive. He puts his t-shirt over his head, so he's like, I don't know, all scrunched over. He starts speaking with, like, let's say a Latinx accent, like, teepee from my bunghole.
Yeah, I was always like a Eastern European.
Okay.
I mean, it could just be just a voice that he picked. Random.
I'm trying to think, because there are moments where he says things that are like, I don't know. And Cornholio, yeah,
that is more Latin. You're right.
Because there was, remember, Taco Bell's big in the 90s, like, and they loved nachos. There was this thing of like, anyway, Cornholio talks a lot about TP for his bunghole, and you know, when he's in jail, he's like, I have but one bunghole to give. No man can see his own bunghole. Like, it's just the most utter nonsense. But when I was watching Beavis and Butthead Do the Universe, when I saw him start to become Cornholio, I was excited. I was like, oh, here we go. Here it is. Do you kids know about Cornholio? Because you're about to. That's totally the kind of thing I could see a young kid watching and being like, what the fuck is this? Why is this what you people liked?
Yeah, this is what you watched 25 years ago?
Like, what's even the joke here?
Yeah.
There isn't. It's just pure stupidity. Yeah.
But yeah, the end of the movie.
Yeah.
Basically, I like that the, because you said there's the current, the recurring thing with the alternate universe Beavis and Butthead.
Smart Beavis and Smart Butthead.
Smart Beavis and Smart Butthead. And at the end, they all realize everything's a big misunderstanding, and Serena's not angry at them anymore. She's like, I wanted to kill you, but you're just, you know, a couple of idiots. Like, you just want, like, they finally put the pieces together.
Yeah.
And, like, you just wanted to have sex with me. And then Beavis is about to, like, spill his guts to Serena.
Yeah.
And even, like, the government guys are like, it's okay, son. You could say it.
Right, because, like, he wants to say I love you because he thinks he loves her. Because of the conversations he had with Siri.
Right. But then, like, smart Beavis jumps in and it's like, I can show you the universe. Like, come with me and I will show you things that you've only dreamed of since you were a little girl. And, like, the last words he says is like, and I have a giant schlong.
Yeah. And she's like, what the hell?
Yeah, and so she goes off to another universe with the other Beavis and Butthead. And then they get a medal of condemnation.
It's the end of Star Wars.
Yeah, like there's a whole, like, we go to a whole other universe where there's all the, it's sort of like the Council of Rick and Morty.
Right, right.
Like,
it's all these other Beavis and Buttheads.
And there's like a king and queen Beavis and Butthead.
Yeah.
And, like, Beavis is like this portly queen.
Yeah.
And they each get a medal, one for being the first Beavis to score.
Yeah.
And the other to Butthead for, like, sitting in a closet and watching.
Yeah. Yeah, because at one point early on, when they first meet Beavis and Butthead, they're like, in other universes do we score? And he's like, sadly, in no universe do Beavis and Butthead ever score. But this was there was the one Beavis that scored, Smart Beavis.
Yeah.
Well, I love at the end, the whole thing is like, they're like, Beavis and Butthead, because you went through the black hole, you ripped a hole in time and space, and you have to go back through a portal, back to your time, and that's the only way time will fix itself and the universe will be safe. So they keep, first they're like, we've put the hole on the top of Mount Everest, the highest point in your planet. And they're like, they don't even understand them. They don't even look for it. So then they come back again and they're like, we have put it behind the humanities building here in the college. So they still don't go. And then finally they're like, we put it in your bathroom in your house. You just got to go right in and walk through. And then at the end, the lieutenant governor, he goes through. He gets sucked through, and it closes. And then Smart Beavis and Butthead are like, oh, we had thought it was you that had to go through, but...
Like, even though we are the smartest Beavis and Butthead, that is still relative to the rest of the world.
Right. Like, we could have kicked a brick in, and it would have worked. So now they're in 2022.
Yeah.
And as compensation for almost killing them and
They get their house back.
Yeah, the government gives them a house, gives them a TV. And now I guess they just live there in 2022. Now, can the new show... It's so weird to me that the new show is going to have this conceit of them now.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, they did it 10 years ago. Like, there's no reason they can't...
Right, for a cartoon, there's no reason to be like, oh, well, how do you explain... Like, you don't need that, really. Yeah. And by the way, when it came back 10 years ago, very little fanfare. It was more like 12 years ago, right? It was like... 2009, 2010.
Yeah, it was like 2011 it came back.
Yeah, okay, yeah. And it was, I watched it, and I was like, this is good, this is it.
Yeah.
I didn't dislike it, but it seemed like it did nothing at that time.
Yeah, well, again, like you said with this movie, like, it just kind of, hey, we're putting a movie out.
Yeah.
And it's out.
We spoke recently about Kids in the Hall brain candy. It's similar to the Kids in the Hall thing, where, like, 10 years ago they reunited, and nobody seemed to care. And then they reunited again, and now it's like, oh, Kids in a Hole reunited. The same thing's happened with Beavis and Butthead, really, right?
Well, I think because now, like, you're giving people what they want.
Okay, you want more of, like...
Like, with Kids in the Hall specifically was like...
Oh, Kids in a Hole, yeah. Oh, yeah, because that show wasn't a sketch show.
Right,
that was just, but like, with Beavis and Butthead, it seemed like nobody gave a shit when it came back.
Right.
There were, like, more seasons of Beavis and Butthead. Like, it almost didn't make a big deal.
Well, because I think the streaming service matters this time. Because
yeah.
When you just had it going to MTV, you had it being directly marketed to the current MTV audience.
Yeah.
Whereas now it's on Paramount Plus. It's like we're accustomed at this point, even in the infancy of streaming, relative to, like, how long streaming has been around, we're already used to the idea that, like, yeah, you can get kids shows on Paramount Plus. You can get adult shows. Like,
yeah.
We're not expecting. It's like there's no expectation.
Almost. Right. You're right. Yeah. What do you think? I'm trying to think of if this new show will be good.
There's only one way to find out.
I know. Will they do what they did when they came back before and still try to do, like, segments of them watching stuff? Or at this point,
I would imagine. Well, I don't know.
I mean, what, they're watching Paramount Plus stuff? Like, you know, like, what would they be watching?
The Offer?
Yeah, yeah.
Making fun of The Offer.
Just Beavis and Butthead doing a riff on fucking
Robert Evans.
Yeah. Yeah, I hope. I mean, look, in the end, I don't think people who didn't like Beavis and Butthead before will get a lot out of the new film.
No, but if you did like Beavis and Butthead before, I think you're really going to like this.
Right, right. I think Beavis and Butthead is a thing that is of its time. You know,
yeah.
There was a time where I remember, like, even like seeing, like, maybe it was like 2020 or like some news magazine show being like, the comedy of idiots. And it was like Beavis, they were talking about Beavis and Butthead and Adam Sandler movies, and like Tommy Boy had just come out. Mm. And it was this whole thing of like, are idiots cool? Like, it was a very weird postulation.
Well, again, that was that specific time. And I always tell people, because a lot of people have this idea that, like, oh, trash TV is like peak trash TV is right now, or like was, you know, even 10 years ago or 15 years ago. No, peak trash TV was like the late 90s.
Yeah, early on.
That was like, you know, Jerry
Animal
Springer.
Attacks. You know what I mean? Like, or Fox would like have a special on primetime about an alien autopsy.
Yeah.
Or like really mean-spirited reality shows like The Swan.
Yeah, but like I'm just thinking back to how many times they would do the like when animals attack thing.
I know.
Or like Man vs. Beast.
Yeah.
Remember when they would did those specials and it would be like
primetime.
But like it would he would do the Man vs. Beast stuff was like insulting to for many reasons. But I remember specifically they did one where it was like an elephant pulling an airplane and like 200 little people pulling an airplane.
Yeah.
And like.
So insulting.
Yeah.
So insulting. Yeah, you're right. It wasn't. Yeah. You know what I over this week, because the original Beavis and Butthead is also on Paramount Plus. I was like, let me watch some stuff. And I was looking up some stuff on YouTube and I completely forgot. And I think I sent this to you that there had been a couple of cases of like kids doing violent things.
Yeah. Lighting fires.
Yeah. And like one kid like lit his house on fire and like killed his little sister or something. And they blamed Beavis and Butthead got blamed. Now, I don't know if this is true. You can't believe YouTube comments as a source.
Right.
But I was looking at the comments and somebody in the comments was like, you know, years later, this kid came out and said he never even saw Beavis and Butthead. Like, that was an engineered thing. Like, right. So, who knows?
I don't believe it.
Like, that's a comment. Who knows? But I completely forgot that it was controversial.
Well, that's like when Jackass came out and there was all that stuff. Remember when Jackass first came out?
Yeah.
They did not have, like, the warning.
Yeah.
But, like, very quickly they played it in because there was that, I think it was, there were people definitely trying to do their own Jackass shit.
Yeah.
But, like, specifically, I think there was one kid who, like, was trying to jump over a car, like a moving car, something like that. And that's, and he got hurt, and that's when they were like, oh, we gotta fucking put a warning before this.
Yeah. But Beavis and Butthead got big. I remember one of their champions was David Letterman. Do you remember when they appeared on David Letterman?
Yeah. In, like animated form.
Yeah, it's actually really cool. And it was to promote the movie, but I remember he used to have Mike Judge on a lot. Like, he was like, he liked it. He was a champion of Beavis and Butthead, which is why he ends up being the voice of, like, Butthead's father in the movie.
Right.
Yeah, it was big. I mean, like, they had this album, which was, like, some original music, some audio sketches, but Beavis and Butthead and Cher, the real Cher, did a remake of I Got You, Babe.
Mm-hmm.
And
I remember the video.
Yeah, I posted part of the video on the PCMC Instagram recently, and I said this was peak 90s. Like,
did you have the Beavis and Butthead video game?
Oh, dude, I
could not beat it.
No, but God, did me and my brother Anthony, we both played. We got it for Christmas.
Mm.
It was funny. Despite all the controversy, my parents had no problem letting us watch it. Like, they just were fine with it. Although I did once get in trouble because, like, I wrote, like, we were supposed to write some little play for CCD, and I wrote some little sketch that was basically very Beavis and Butthead, and then the CCD teacher was like, I think Michael is disturbed, but it was really just Beavis and Butthead type hijinks, and my parents were mad about that, but
you know what? That happened to me in third grade. I was, like, just doodling something out of Beavis and Butthead that I had seen, and then, like, the teacher was like, oh, fucking give me that, and
They
the parent teacher conference was like a couple days later, and they saved it and fucking like gave it to my dad. My dad came home and was like, "It's like fucking paying you to go to school." Like,
they were public enemy number one for a while.
Yeah,
You know, they were like, this is bad. This is bad for people. You're going to, you know, which is nonsense. You know, media absolutely will always have an effect on reality, but it doesn't have a straight, direct mimetic effect of I see it and I do it.
Right.
It changes your worldview. Of course it has an effect, but I always resist the idea, the simple-minded idea of, like, the magic bullet.
Well, because that's the simple idea. Like, there are...
You play a violent video game and then you want to go act violently. No.
Right. Meanwhile, like, and again, maybe this is a simple answer as well. I think sometimes, a lot of times, it falls on the parents, because the same parent that could just as easily say, you're not watching this, this is bad.
Yeah.
Could be like, you know, could just as easily be like, here's why people are saying this about this show. Here's why your friends can't watch it.
Yeah. But it's
here's
not.
Why, here's why. But also, here's why it's entertaining. It's a farce.
Right.
Like same thing with the violent video games. Like a parent should be able to go to their kid and be like, why do you enjoy playing this game? And, like, have a discussion about it.
Right, right.
Like, well, like, it helps me, you know, take some steam off. Like, it's fun to rack up points. And say, like, but does it make you want to, like, go and shoot up the school? Like, oh, no, of course not. Like, yeah, of course not. Because, right. Like, you're not already, like, predisposed to that.
Right. It's just way more complicated than people say it is. But, you know, going back to that time, it's not always the parents. A lot of it, I think, was the media itself, news media, pushing those narratives. Because remember when Columbine happened, they went through the kids' CD collection and they found Marilyn Manson. And they were like, this is it. This is why. And
Marilyn, but it's like you were looking for something.
Right. You were absolutely looking. Or South Park as well became a part of that. It's like, how?
Yeah.
Not that Marilyn Manson is a cool guy, because we've learned he's an abusive piece of shit. But
there's that famous Bowling for Columbine clip where he's 100% right. Where, like, you know, okay, they want to peg him into this. But, you know, why not blame the president? Why not blame, you know, the inundation of commercials?
I mean, the truth is, why not blame gun control? Because that's the last thing that we'll ever do in this country, no matter what. We'll never take care of our gun problem.
But, like, in a broad sense, like, okay, you're going to blame Marilyn Manson and say that he has all this influence on children.
Right.
But, like, why wouldn't the president have influence on children? Why wouldn't, you know, all these TV commercials that are saying, like, you know, if you got acne, you're not going to get the girl, so you got to get the acne cream. And then if you don't get the girl, you're not going to get laid. And if you don't get laid, you're not going to have friends. Like, you're going to be depressed. Now you're depressed, so you got to take the pill. And then...
Yeah, I know. Did you, you know what one of my favorite episodes, though, of the original Beavis and Butthead was? The Christmas special, where they do, like, the night before Christmas, and it's their boss from the burger place.
Yes.
I don't know. For some reason, they played it a lot one Christmas. I guess it was, like, 95 or whatever. And I just remember watching it a lot. They used to do... We were trying to talk about... When we did a cable movie classic episode, I was trying to remember the name of the Beavis and Butthead marathons that MTV used to do, and I couldn't pull it. But I found it, and it was Maranathon. Beavis and Butthead Maranathon, where they'd play, like, 4 hours. And they would do this, like, all the time. And a Maranathon was, like... You didn't know when it was coming. It'd be, like... It'd be a Friday night. You just watched TGIF, and now it's, like, 10. And it's, like, now there's a Maranathon for 3 hours. Mm-hmm. It's, like, yes, this is going to be awesome. And I remember them playing that Christmas episode a lot and just absolutely loving it.
Well, because something I don't think people understand... now, because how could they, about MTV, is that, yeah, it's a cliche to say, oh yeah, they used to play videos and all this. But even more than that is their schedule was all over the place.
Yeah.
Nothing would start. Very few things I remember actually starting at, like, you know, on the hour at, like, the 30 minute mark. Mm-hmm. It would be like, here's 15 minutes of videos, then we're going to cut to, like, an MTV news break with Kurt Loder.
Yeah.
Then, like, here's a Beavis and Butthead cartoon.
And nothing would remain. Like, Beavis and Butthead was just sort of... like, I watched it. I don't remember when it aired. It was just sort of always on.
Oh, yeah. It was there for... It had a good long life. Like, it was there from, like, 93 to, like, early 98.
And it really was... MTV, I mean, influential. In a way that you can't understand now because it's just a joke now. But there was a time where MTV was, like... Like, if you, like, you know, kids had, like, Disney Channel and comedy and Cartoon Network.
But, like,
Network. You
know, the slightly older kids.
Right. And... They really didn't have anything. Like, for teenagers, it was really MTV. That was it. And every teenager watched it, whether you were watching videos or you were watching Beavis and Butthead, or you were watching Yo! MTV Raps, or you were watching Headbangers Ball, or you were watching The Real World. Yeah. Like there was Liquid Television. There was tons and tons of shit.
And then there was. I mean, this could be a whole episode in and of itself. MTV Spring Break.
Right, which would be like, what, 2 weeks of weird programming all around kids in a house, like,
well, yeah, because they would go down to, like, Cancun, they'd have, like, the MTV Beach House.
MTV Sports?
Yeah.
Right? They were at one point really important, and now they are not. Although it's funny, I can't even tell you, like, I don't really even watch TV anymore. So, like, I never put it on. So I don't know, like, if I were to put it on right now, I don't know what I would see.
Well, there's that meme of, like, the schedule of MTV, it's like 18 straight hours of, like, ridiculousness.
Yeah, right. I know they had a Teen Wolf. And they had, like, a Scream series.
There was a period where they were getting into the paranormal romance.
Yeah.
Genre.
Yeah. Well, Vin, I think we did it.
We did it.
The recommendation is go watch Beavis and Butthead Do America and Beavis and Butthead Do the Universe.
Yeah.
And
get Paramount Plus.
And get, once again, PCMC is not really brought to you by Paramount Plus. Vin, thank you so much for being here.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
We come out every Wednesday. We are your podcast for pop culture, ephemera, and all the things you love. We end every episode by saying,
go bye-bye.